Okay, thank you very much. To start with, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Amelie Gowden, who is involved in a lot of the research I'm going to talk about, and Dave Hooker, who manages one of the long-term trials that I'm going to refer to. Now, it's been mentioned a number of times this morning already, but we see it in Ontario as well, that we've seen a reduction in cropping system complexity. Going along with that, we've seen a reduction in forage acreage. Forage acres have been taken over by crops such as corn, soybean, wheat, and from 1981 to 2013, we essentially have a three-crop system and largely a two-crop system consisting of corn, soybean, and we try to keep wheat in the system. And this is not unique to Ontario. In Minnesota, we see the same trend where corn and soybean dominates the landscape. Iowa, since 1981, has really been nothing but corn and soybeans. And Michigan is essentially following the same trend as well. Corn, soybean dominated landscapes. And so this is becoming much more prevalent across the landscape. And so the question is that we've been wanting to look at, what is the implications of us having moved to a corn, soybean dominated landscape? And in particular for this talk, what are the implications in terms of resiliency of the system? Now, when we use the term resiliency, we say that cropping systems are stable, resilient, if they are able to retain yield potential and recover functional integrity when challenged by stresses. A lot of people would say that those are just environmental stresses, but they could be management stresses or perhaps some other type of stress as well. But that's the definition we use. So for my talk, the outline, I'm going to give an overview of the Allura and long-term and Ridgetown long-term trial that have been ongoing for a number of years, and compare the resiliency of simple, and when I say simple, I'm really talking about corn-soybean rotations, to more complex rotations. And when I say complex rotations, really what we're looking at is rotations of corn-soybean that include wheat or red clover, perhaps alfalfa. That's the comparison. And then I want to talk, if I have time, about why we should be increasingly interested in rotation diversity. Okay, this is the Allura Research Station. It's located at about 43 degrees latitude, so you'd actually have to drive south of here to get to it. I don't have the obligatory Ontario map to position it, but it's a silt loam soil, 900 millimeters of annual rainfall, 2,700 to 2,800 corn heat units, and we've got a long-term trial that's been running since 1980, located at that station. At that trial, we've got corn, soybean, alfalfa, barley, and wheat, and those crops are in rotations of single crops of corn and alfalfa, two crops, corn, alfalfa rotations or corn soybean rotations, and then three crop rotations, corn soy wheat without red clover, and then we've also got a four crop rotation. So you can see we've got a rotation gradient, and we've got a corn soy that most closely represents the predominant corn soybean rotation that we see in our landscape. And for this talk, I focus on the first year corn and first year soybean yields. And then we've got a conventional tillage and no tillage split in each of the main plots. Like I said, Dave Hooker manages a long-term rotation trial as well. It's south of the Allura trial, a longer heat unit zone, slightly heavier soil texture. It also has a crop diversity gradient. You can see, again, we've got three crops systems, two crop systems, one crop systems. And you can see that we've got a corn-soybean comparison and also a corn-soy-wheat-red-clover comparison. In that trial as well, there's a nitrogen split running across the rotation treatments, and then we've also got a tillage gradient. And so these trials have been running for a while, and then we've published a number of papers looking at different aspects of it. And so what have we concluded about the corn-soybean rotation? We've concluded that the corn-soybean rotation is associated with reduced yield and greater yield instability. It's got the lowest soil organic matter poor soil structure based on a number of different measurements that we've used. It has increased nitrogen requirement, reduced input use efficiency, and the list goes on down to reduced profitability. Now, having said that, I'm going to talk a bit later about reduced profitability. Based on the action of some of most producers, they would suggest that it's the most profitable. Some of the work we've done and some recent trends, at least in Ontario, in terms of wheat production, would suggest that maybe farmers are starting to reconsider that assumption. So I'm going to look at this issue of yield in terms of stability, in terms of resiliency. First of all, just looking at rotation effects. This is the Elora long-term trial, 1982 to 2012. And we're looking at corn and soybean yield. We've got the various rotations. You can see that corn yield under a corn-soybean rotation tends to be one of the lowest yielding treatments other than continuous corn. And then when we add wheat into the system or we go to our more complex rotations, yield of corn increases. Now this is averaged across 30 years. If we look at individual years, we're going to find that wheat in some years is going to cause a significant rotation effect, but certainly across most years, the addition of wheat and red clover results in a significant rotation effect. If we look at soybean yield in a corn-soybean rotation, you can see that the corn-soybean rotation is associated with the lowest soybean yield, and the simple addition of wheat into the system results in about a 14 to 15% yield increase across the 30 years. And you've got to recognize again that this is a four-year rotation. Soybean is following wheat that was planted 3 years previously. Okay, so it's quite a dramatic effect. The Ridgetown results, I'm only showing the 2010 to 2013 results, but the trends across other years are quite similar. But you can see here that the corn-soybean rotation is the light bar. The white one is the corn-corn. The corn-soybean is the next lightest, and then we've got corn-soy-wheat, corn-soy-wheat-red-clover. But we've got 7 out of the 8 tillage by year scenarios where corn soybean is the lowest yield for corn. Addition of wheat in a number of those cases provides a significant yield increase. But in most cases, wheat and red clover provides a significant yield increase. Soybeans, similar to Elora scenario, soybean yield under corn soybean is the lowest. And then simple addition of wheat into the system provides about a 12% rotation benefit. And that, again, is 2 years after wheat was in the system. So we wanted to look at that more closely, and we did some work with Alan Kerr and Tor Tolhurst, and Amelie was involved in this as well, where we did some analysis similar to what you would do in the crop insurance industry. And this is everything a slide shouldn't be in terms of being busy. But if you look at the first sort of blue box, that's probability of high yield. The next one is the downside potential of the rotation. And then the third one, the sort of yellowish one, is the probability of a high yield. And what they did was they combined this into a performance index. And you can see that the red boxes there, the 9s, the 14, and the 13th, are the continuous corn, the corn soybeans. Those are the rotations that have the poorest performance index measurement. So they are the rotation that it has the highest probability of low yield, the greatest downside potential, and the lowest probability of high yield. We also wanted to look at which weather patterns are being mitigated by this rotation effect. Is it hot, dry, or cool, wet conditions? And so this is work that Amelie did. We estimated dates of each development stage so we could define critical stages. Estimated variation in soil moisture over the growing season using the Hydrus model. Then we were able to use a principal component analysis, and we clustered the years based on the characteristics of each growth stage based on soil moisture and temperature. And we came up with a number of clusters, but three clusters of interest. Some of the years clustered into what we would call optimal or high yielding years. Another cluster were years of hot, dry seasons where we had significant soil water deficit during flowering and the grain pod filling period. And then we had other years that clustered into what we call a cool, wet season. Wet beginning of the season with low temperatures during grain pod filling and maturity. And we compared the rotation effect to the corn-soybean effect. And you can see that the corn, corn, soy, wheat, the second group of bars from the bottom, under dry years, the addition of wheat into corn, soybean, we get a larger rotation effect. And we see that under no-till, and we see that under tillage. As we further add complexity to the rotation, we continue to see this increased benefit of corn, soybean under hot, dry conditions. It's interesting that under cool, wet conditions, we don't seem to see as much of a rotation benefit relative to corn soybeans. When we look at soybean data, we have three similar clusters that we can look at, and essentially the effect is similar. Under hot, dry conditions, we see an enhanced rotation effect relative to corn soybeans. Under cool, wet conditions, we don't see that same as large an effect, perhaps because under cool, wet conditions, you've got a lush canopy, possibly, and it kind of offsets the benefit of the rotation effect under those conditions. So anyways, if we look at the issue of corn, soybean effects on yield, and I'm already running out of time here, I'm going to have to hurry it up here. It doesn't seem to hold up in terms of resiliency. I was going to move on and talk about nitrogen requirement, and then I realized that Dave Hooker has a poster, 289-7, Wheat Improves Productivity and End Use Efficiency in Corn Soybean-Based Crop Rotations. We know that addition of red clover or another legume with wheat provides a credit to corn. There's evidence from Dave's trial that simple addition of wheat into a corn-soybean rotation provides substantial nitrogen benefits. So look at that poster. I think it's a good one. I was going to make a couple comments about profitability. Like I mentioned, we've done some basic economic analysis of our rotations, and it seems to suggest that, you know, our rotations that are more complex could be considered to be more profitable than a lot of people consider. So the message that we've been trying to get out to producers is that we need to think about this. If you add wheat into a corn soybean rotation, you get a 2 to 6% increase in corn yield. So a 4% increase on 160 bushels would be 6.5 bushels at 450 a bushel, gives you a certain profit. 9 to 14% increase in soybean yield. That's 11.5% on 40 bushels is 5 bushels. At 12 bushels, that's $60. Reduction in N requirement gives you a benefit. You get other benefits that we put a conservative estimate of $10 on. You can get a total profit that should be attributed back to wheat of $115 per acre. And that doesn't even consider the possibility to add red clover into the system or some other cover crop that really starts accentuating that. And so in Ontario, this message has been really strongly promoted. The past 2 years, we've seen very low winter wheat acreages for a number of reasons, partially due to weather conditions. This fall, we've seen a doubling and a record winter wheat planting. I think farmers inherently recognize the benefit, but we need to put some numbers to this. And if I have a minute real quick, the other point that I'm going to make is that we think that this corn-soybean lag in resiliency is only going to become more accentuated. And this is one of the concerns we have. And the reason we say that is if the benefit or the lag shows up more under drought conditions, when we push for higher yield potential, that takes more water. Okay. When we have a land coming out of production typically is our first class land, and it's replaced by our lower class land. We see that in Canada. It's a big effect. We have concerns about residue removal. That's going to accentuate soil quality problems on our corn soybean rotation. And then we've got this climate change issue. And so in summary, absolutely complex rotations increase resiliency, and I think there's opportunities to address that. Thank you.